Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to this Holy Half Hour programme here on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. In this programme and next week's too, we're going to attempt something we've never tried before. Well, we like to push the boundaries. Over the next two programmes, we're going to summarise and present one of the greatest and most famous books ever written, namely John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Part 1 covers the first 6 chapters and Part 2 the remaining 6 chapters. John Bunyan's own life is very interesting. He was a poor travelling seller of pots and pans. He mixed with bad company and he got into trouble. His wife tried in vain to settle him down. He was heading for disaster when someone gave him a Bible. As he read it, he became a Christian. He was transformed. He became a preacher. His life spoke volumes, but he also preached in the open air. However, the churches grudged his popularity, and true to the Jesus script, the Pharisees got him arrested and imprisoned. False witnesses helped to get him found guilty of causing discontent, and he was sent to Bedford Jail for 12 years. Alone in his cell with his Bible, John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Basically, it traces one man's spiritual journey from being a lost sinner to being safely at home in heaven. It's your story and mine. It's the journey of life, the ups and downs and the experiences which we encounter as we go through life seeking to journey towards eternity in heaven. So, in chapter 1, Christian sets out from the city of destruction. Christian is an unhappy man. At this point, he's not really a Christian. He has a heavy burden on his back, a burden of sin and guilt, and there's no reprieve. A man called Evangelist said that the king had sent him to point him in the right direction from the city of destruction so he could make his way to the celestial city. And he gave him a promise key to help him when he got into trouble on the way. Christian tried in vain to persuade his wife and his family and his friends to come with him. But no matter how much he tried, they just wouldn't budge. The man called Obstinate stubbornly refused to go. But another neighbour called Pliable was persuaded to go with him. So off they went together, the two of them.
I use for marrow.
So you're listening to 3TFM's version of Pilgrim's Progress. So Christian and Pliable set off from the City of Destruction. Things were great for a while, but gradually things began to get a bit tougher. And Pliable, true to form, turned back home to the City of Destruction. When the going gets tough, the weak go home. Christian pushed on, but eventually he found himself caught and sinking in some quicksand. And the more he struggled, the more he was sinking. And he was beginning to panic, and he cried out for help. And a man came to his rescue. And he thought to himself, you know, why does life have to be so difficult sometimes? But he was delighted that help was there, and he was relieved to be taken out of the quicksand, and is able to go on his way again rejoicing that he'd been helped. So here's Mary McKee and the Genesis singing a song, Love Lifted Me. Christian was going on his road when he met two people. He met Mr. Worldly Wiseman and a man called Legality, and they journeyed together as fellow pilgrims on the journey of life until the going got a bit steeper. And as it was gradually getting steeper, Mr. Worldly Wiseman, who was one of those guys that always knows a shortcut, you know, and he thought he knew another way that wasn't quite so steep, and he favoured going that way. So off he went to the left. Mr. Legality, he always liked to stay on the legal side of things and be guided by that. He took the legal route to the right. Christian was left on his own, going straight forward, but he found the road going more and more uphill. And as he got further up the hill, he was getting out of breath and he began to get more and more stuck. I can identify that myself. I once jumped out of a car, run up a glacial slope in Yosemite National Park, and because of my rubber trainers, I could get up the slope so far, And when I ran out of steam, I found myself stuck halfway up this slope. I couldn't go up, I couldn't go back, I couldn't go sideways. And it's a very scary experience. So there was Christian stuck in that position. But eventually, he cries for help, and by God's grace and God's help, he gets out of that pickle, and he made his way to what was called Interpreter's House. And with Interpreter in his house, he had a good night's sleep. Here's St. Mary's guitar group from Saltcoats, singing the words from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, "Do not be afraid. God is with us in the quicksand, and God is with us when we're stuck up a hill."
Do not be afraid, for every deed you do, I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I'll be with you. You will never sink beneath the waves. Do not be afraid. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, you are mine. When the fire is burning all around you, you will never be consumed by the flames.
Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. By your name, you are mine.
When the fear of loneliness is looming, then remember I am at your side.
Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name.
You dwell in the exile of a stranger. Remember, you are precious in my eyes.
Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
You are mine, oh my child, I am your father. And I love you with a perfect love.
Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
While Christian was in Interpreter's house, he saw something quite interesting. There was a fire burning in the grate, and he could see that on one side a man was trying to extinguish it, while on the other side a good man was trying to ignite it. And there was a running battle between the man trying to ignite the fire and the man trying to extinguish the fire, the good man and the bad man. But the fire kept on burning, because the good man was winning. And he thought, such is life. God and evil have a daily struggle. It's like a cosmic chess match, one side and the other. But the comforting news is that the good side wins. The issue is, on what side are we? Are we part of the problem, or are we part of the solution? The decision is ours. Here's Michael Card.
I have decided I'm gonna live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. Gonna live what I believe. I have decided being good is just a fable. I just can't, 'cause I'm not able. Gonna leave it to the Lord. There's a wealth of things that I professed. I said that I believed, but deep inside I never changed. I guess I've been deceived, and a voice inside kept telling me that I changed. Life's a lie. I have decided.
Christian, the hero of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, continues on his pilgrimage through life, from the City of Destruction towards the Celestial City. But he's having to make this journey with a great big burden on his back, a burden of sin and guilt. Nothing he can do can shake it off. But his journey now takes him towards the cross. And he sees Jesus on the cross. And he looks up into Jesus' eyes. And Jesus looks at him. And as they look into each other's eyes, Christian notices his burden beginning to slip off his back. He suddenly feels that his sins are all forgiven. He is clothed with new clothes. He's given a scroll to hand in at the Celestial City when he arrives. It's a scroll which will say words to the effect that Jesus died for me. Christian's journey now takes on a new pace. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like us his praise should sing? Christian turns away from the cross on his pilgrimage, skipping, singing along Happy Day. Eventually he meets two people. One was called Hypocrisy and the other Formalist. They are hoping to go to the Celestial City as well, so they join forces and walk together. But he discovers that Hypocrisy and Formalist hope to get to the Celestial City without having been to the cross. He didn't think that was a clever idea. At a hill, Hypocrisy and Formalist start looking for an easier way. Christian, however, keeps climbing up to the summit. But he's met by Timorous and Mistrust, who are running towards him. They are heading back to the City of Destruction because they had seen two lions and they were frightened of them. Such is the journey of life. We are surrounded by hypocrisy and formalism, people who are timorous and mistrusting, and they all go past us. And Christian, to encourage himself as he continues on the road, reaches into his pocket to read the scroll that he was given at the cross. Then he discovers to his dismay that he's left it back down the hill. Why is it in life that there are so many hills to climb, and when we're halfway up, we remember we have to go back down and get it again and start again? Here's Neil Sedaka with the same sentiment. Christian's journey takes him through uphills, down dales, many twists and turns, forks in the road, crossroads, and all sorts of experiences. One that particularly fascinates me is the time that he came up to the road where there were two lions blocking his way, and he was frightened and inclining to turn back when someone shouted to him and said, "Don't worry, just push on, walk up the middle of the road, because if you look carefully, you'll see that the lions are tied, and they're tethered in such a way that they can't actually meet. So there's enough space for you to walk between them if you just stick to the middle of the road." So, summoning his courage, he walked down the middle of that road with the lions trying to reach him from either side. But right enough, he got through safely, by the skin of his teeth. He was reminded of the man in the Bible, Daniel, who was in the lion's den. Here's Ian White to tell us about it.
Thank you. men. One day they caught him praying when it was forbidden, and threw him in the lion's den. Oh, Daniel's in the den, Daniel's in the den. It's nearly time for bed, and the lions need fed. Daniel's in the den, Daniel's in the den. But the people and the king have forgotten one thing, that Daniel, he's God's friend. It's early in the morning, the king is looking worried. He's running to the lion's den. Then Daniel says, good morning, the lion hasn't torn me. You see, my God has saved me again. Oh, Daniel, you're alive, Daniel, you're alive. It's a miracle that you haven't died. Daniel, please forgive, Daniel, please forgive. We'll tell every man living in this land that Daniel, your God lives. Oh, Daniel, your God lives. Oh, Daniel, your God lives.
So we've been following Christian's pilgrimage from the city of destruction to the celestial city as a metaphor, a parable, an allegory of our spiritual journey as we go from where we started, hopefully to heaven one day. He's gone through quicksand, he's been stuck up a hill, he's met all kinds of people who have been all kinds of distractions, but he's faithfully plodded up the road, he's got past the two lions, and there are more adventures to come. But unfortunately, our holy half hour has come to an end for just now. But tune in again next week for part two and the final concluding part of Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. So bye for now, and I'll leave you with Ian White.
Everywhere he walks with me, and through prayer he talks with me. He has cared enough for me to die to set me free. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand. Set your minds on things above. Everywhere he walks with me, and through prayer he talks with me. He has cared enough for me to die to set me free. Put to death whatever is sin. Rid yourselves of all these things. You have been renewed in the Lord, and he is all and is in all. Everywhere he walks with me, and through prayer he talks with me. He has cared enough for me to die to set me free. Let his peace now rule in your hearts. Let his word be rich in you. Sing psalms and hymns with thanks to God. Praise him in all that you do. Everywhere he walks with me, and through prayer.